Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Good afternoon and welcome to Can I Help You? I'm Michelle Marquis, and along with me in studio for our first segment is Terry Garrett. He is the COO of Mercy Wellness. It's nice to see you again, Terry.
Good to see you, Michelle. Thank you.
And today we're going to be talking with someone who you worked with for quite some time to put together a cannabis economic impact report. Of course, that expert is one who is very familiar to people here in Sonoma County, Dr. Rob Eiler. He is the Dean of the School of Extended and International Education at Sonoma State University and also a professor of economics. Thank you so much for joining us, Doctor.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about this. How did you come up with the idea to put together this kind of a report? What was the impetus for that?
Well, the impetus was that there seemed to be a lot of consternation and sort of, let's say, lack of information out there about what really connects a product like cannabis to the rest of the economy regionally. And so Terry and I talked about doing this a long time ago, and then finally it seemed like we had the forces and the data in place to where we could actually go through with the exercise.
And so what did you have to pull together to put something like this together?
Well, the main thing is just what you'd think of as the so-called input data. To do an economic impact analysis, you need to decide what you think is a good description of what you would call the core industry under investigation. So when you look at an industry like cannabis, just like when you look at an industry like wine or biotech or tourism, you have to say, okay, what do you think is the circle in which is the core part of that industry from which everything else sort of ripples out? So the picture in your mind should be that if I take a rock and I throw it into a still pond, that rock is the cannabis industry in this case, and the ripples affect other parts of the regional economy, where the pond is really the full regional economy.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to gather information, especially trying to figure out sort of pre-legalization what the economic impact of cannabis was here in the region?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Terry and I knew that was going to be probably the chief challenge. The rest of it's relatively academic, no pun intended. But the rest of it is actually, you know, relatively well known as far as the methodology to go through with the exercise. But we knew that we were going to struggle on the primary data side by the nature of cannabis's sort of dual life pre and post Prop 64.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And did you find in your research that the cannabis sort of economic impact, does it resemble any other sort of economy locally?
Well, it's funny because, you know, when I originally went into this, I've always had the mentality that cannabis is a lot like any other agricultural product. And in the sense that it takes a farming community, it takes farmers to get the product from dirt to a product. That's true. And then there's other parts of the supply chain which are also classic agriculture, where you'd say there's a harvest cycle, then there is distribution after that harvest cycle, potential manufacturing to take a harvested product and convert it into something that's consumable. And there's also other products that can come from it. And then there's a retail market. What's fascinating about the market is that once that retail product is established, it kind of transitions from what you think of as a consumable alone into something that looks a little bit more like an amalgam of a food product or a medicine and the jewelry industry based on the value by weight.
Oh, my.
So the retail piece of it is a real, very fascinating but wild mix of different industries by the nature of the pricing of the product by weight, and but also where it comes from in the first place, which is an agricultural process.
There's a lot to think about in this.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. I think Rob really hit on something there that was the first surprising fact to me, which is the concentration of value on this, whether it's cultivation. So a vineyard, for example, and we'll just take an average one, not the high end in Napa cabs or anything, but just an average vineyard based on the crop report might yield $10,000 an acre, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of just the raw fruit yield. before it goes into bottling and processing. Right. But cannabis can yield as much as 2 million or more per acre.
My goodness.
And so it requires a lot less resources of land and other inputs to do that. And as Rob just mentioned, on the retail side, one of the biggest shockers for me is that most of the cannabis retail stores have a higher sales per square foot than Apple does. And their Apple stores are, of course, notorious for being among the top. And as Rob mentioned, jewelry stores, that sort of thing. So
that is amazing.
It's a very concentration, high concentration of value.
So it really is, it can't really be compared to, say, the wine industry or anything like that, just because it doesn't.
Well, I think Rob just made that point that it can.
Oh, okay. Right.
And
up to a point.
Up to a point. I mean, the similarities are what he just described along the supply chain, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize that the similarities really are there almost up to the point of the way the retail spaces are set up. There are some other factors in terms of security in the agricultural setting, making sure that there's, you know, there's testing, which I know Terry has talked about a lot in terms of the amount of testing and the amount of regulation that goes into basically each ounce of product that's on the move. That's a little bit different in terms of the compliance structure. And so there are, what's facing cannabis entrepreneurs is a lot more rigorous compliance piece than, let's say, in any other industry really that you can think of in agriculture and really anywhere else, probably outside of medicine, otherwise in the world.
It is a medicine, so I mean that does make sense too. So because this starts with agriculture, are we seeing all of that come through then in the economy? Is the potential here for the agricultural aspect of it trickling then through into the local economy and contributing?
Well, in theory, we've been seeing it for decades. And this is the thing that's also a real fascinating aspect of this is that, you know, it isn't like, you know, before Prop 64, there was not this agriculture. It just was not in an overt legal form. And it still remains in some ways in an illegal form in many pockets of the region. But the industry was still here, still growing, there was still harvesting, there was still distribution. There was less manufacturing, but manufacturing still there, especially with the medical side. So it wasn't like that it didn't exist. What's baffling for economists, and this is true for any economy that's not 100% legal, is that it's very difficult to measure it because we do not have strong third-party sources that we trust generating those data. And that's something that Terry and I knew in measuring the pre-Prop 64 and even measuring the post-Prop 64 because it was so new to be generating third-party data. That was going to be our chief challenge, but that's really the thing about trying to think about how wide a scope were the effects in the pre-Prop 64 economy, because we don't have an amazing measure that we can point to and say, okay, we kind of all agree this is the measure of the scope of the direct part of that industry or the core, which is the cannabis industry.
So let's talk a little bit. We don't have tons of time here in this segment, and this is something that we could talk about for a long time. So in your report that you put together, what was the change from pre-legalization to post-legalization in terms of the economic size of this industry?
Wow. That's a great question. I'll say something real quick, and then Terry probably has a comment on this for sure. It's hard to answer that question because we don't know the actual size with specificity or precision pre-Prop 64, and we're still sort of, you know, just have a toehold on the post situation. Terry hypothesized something that's a very astute observation, and that is that there's probably four different categories of cannabis businesses right now. Those that have gone all in, some that are very close, some that are considering being closer, and some that are just not going to convert at all.
Yeah.
And as you slip from the first to the last, the measurability of the size and the scope of those businesses gets lower and lower for anybody. Terry, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, Rob's right in that there were no trusted third-party sources. This was really just a lot of legwork and interviewing. I interviewed a lot of growers that really instructed me on what the yields were And then once I was able to do that, I was able to look at the number of farms, the amount of acreage, and we never estimated more than 500 acres at total.
Really?
For the whole county.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this is, there's 60,000 acres of wine grapes.
Sure.
Right? So
yeah, right.
500 or less, but 500 or less will yield between $1.5 and $2 billion.
My goodness.
And if it's distributed in quarter acre, half acre increments, both indoor, outdoor, and greenhouse, you don't see it. That's why it was so invisible to everybody. So high yielding, very, in a very clandestine manner,
right,
in the pre-legalization phase. So it's anybody's guess, but we know it was north of a billion, and now we're looking at maybe a quarter of that as the shakeout comes, where certain farms were discontinued and disallowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so we're rebuilding.
We are rebuilding. And as we're doing that, because it is still very new, we're just in that first year, year and a half now, of legalization here in California. Is there anything that counties and cities can do to nurture the growth and bring that economic benefit to the rest of, you know, to the county?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that can be done. And I want to provide a quick disclaimer. None of this work that I've done was on the behalf of Sonoma State University, and all my opinions here have nothing to do with the university. I did this as part of a consultant.
Okay.
Weekends. But in mind,
Sorry, you're breaking up there a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. The university, the JC, the county and city governments, they all have a hand in the workforce and economic development aspects of how this industry moves forward over time. And one of the intellectual draws to me of this study was that at some point, this industry is going to want to draw from all those forces for everybody's betterment. And we have to sort of recognize that the image of this industry as being this underground, you know, something that happens with everybody else type of industry, it's going to start to touch more and more people. And we have to recognize that we need to help and assist entrepreneurs and workers who see themselves in this industry be able to be more productive. And that's been, I think, one of the biggest challenges in the post-Prop 64 world, is that with each county and city, having to determine their own fates, we've seen a lot of philosophical movements around this rather than sort of one cohesive structure around economic and workforce development. And that to me, is really where the intellectual juice is in a study like this, is showcasing this is coming or is already here. So there's some things that we have to do as a community to get ready for it, and also to support ongoing.
Well, we appreciate your time, and we'll have to talk again about this in the future. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Rob. Oh, for sure. Thank you.
That is Dr. Rob Eiler, the Dean of School of Extended and International Education at SSU, and also a professor of economics. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. This is Can I Help You? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness on KSRO.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A cannabis talk show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You? Every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. Years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
Texting enrolls for recurring automated marketing text messages. Message and data rates may apply. Texting privacy rules and terms and conditions at textrules.us.
Has dinner got you down? Sick of awful frozen meals or unhealthy fast food? Don't despair, because Martha Stewart is doing a free taste test, giving away 3 full-size meals from her new meal kit delivery service, Martha and Marley Spoon. All fresh ingredients with Martha's delicious and easy recipes. You're eating in just 30 minutes. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text the word CRAVE to 246810. It's so easy. Text us now. Martha and Marley Spoon meals are easy, simple, and delicious. And right now, Martha wants you to enjoy 3 of her best 30-minute meals for free, so you can save time and enjoy eating dinner again. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get your 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text CRAVE to 246810. That's CRAVE to 246810. CRAVE to 246810.
Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
And welcome back to Can I Help You, brought to you by Mercy Wellness. I'm Michelle Marquis. And now we want to talk with Joe Sullivan. Joe is, of course, the leading expert and product manager at Mercy Wellness. Hi, Joe. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Michelle.
So let's introduce our guest. This is one of the producers that you work with?
Yes, I've had a chance to work with this cultivator for almost 4 years now at Mercy. His name is Patrick Corrigan. He's the director of cultivation at Curiosity Shop. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Why don't we start by telling the audience a little bit about Curiosity Shop?
Sure. Curiosity Shop really is a collection of unique proprietary strains that we've bred and selected over about the last 10 years here in Sonoma County. We grow them in small batches, indoors, in a closed environment, in living organic soil beds. Our processes and practices are really geared towards environmental stewardship and sustainability. And with our small batch craft approach, we're really able to provide a really high quality and consistent end cannabis product. Cannabis should be enjoyed fresh. It is perishable. And so if you take our small craft approach with and couple that with the nitrogen packaging that Mercy uses, we're really able to provide the freshest and richest cannabis on the market.
And how do you select the strains that you grow?
Well, we judge our strains based on effect, taste, and smell. These organoleptic qualities are part of the plant's chemotype. And so essentially, we're just selecting and breeding for the unique chemotype of each plant. We feel that this is really the most influential part of the cannabis experience for the end user, and thus we put the highest importance in it. We do take the time to hand manicure every bud that comes out of our facility, but we don't put as much importance in the aesthetic appearance of the buds when we're selecting our genetics.
Got it. And then why do you guys choose to grow in living organic soil beds?
Well, there's a few reasons for this. First of all, we really want to be engaged in responsible agriculture, and growing organically is the most environmentally responsible. Living organic soil inoculated with beneficial microbes really helps to boost the plant's natural defense systems, and so it can sort of ward off pests and disease. In turn, the result of this is that we really don't ever have to use any toxic pesticides or anything like that.
Got it. And then there's a lot of people that are listening right now that probably don't have as much knowledge as we do. How can you elaborate on your efforts towards sustainability?
Sure. Yeah. Well, every type of agriculture is taxing on resources, and growing something indoors even more so because of the electrical requirements. We really view water as California's number one resource and have made a lot of efforts towards conserving it. We are really proud to report that we're only using about 70 gallons a month out of our well for 2,000 square feet of cultivation space. And we're able to achieve this by irrigating our crops with a gray water system, where we're collecting all the wastewater produced from our environmental controls. We're switching over from high-pressure sodium to LED lights, which use about half the electricity. We choose sustainable organic inputs. We recycle all of our crops, or all of our soil, from crop to crop, and we compost all of our green waste on site. And we're also run off of 100% renewable energy sources from solar and geothermal.
Awesome. And now, I know supporting local is important to you. It's important to Mercy. Can you tell us why it's important to Curiosity Shop?
Yeah, we really want to be the model operation that others can follow and show how cannabis can be farmed responsibly and really enrich our community. All of our employees and partners are local to Sonoma County, and it's really important for us that our cannabis that's grown here is available here as well. All this helps to really boost the local economy. And Mercy Wilderness has been very integral in this equation because they've been supporting craft cannabis that's produced locally for years.
Awesome. Now, I'm curious, too, what's the meaning behind the name Curiosity Shop?
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really trying to replicate that experience of going into a curiosity shop or an oddity store and finding that one-of-a-kind item that you can't find anywhere else. All of our genetics and the strains that we offer are unique to us alone, and they really show the wide complexity of flavor and effect that cannabis has. And so we feel like we are that hidden gem that's kind of waiting to be discovered by people. And if the listeners today have their curiosity piqued by this conversation, then please check us out at Mercy Wellness.
Excellent. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit more about that product. And with us here is Oren Wohl. Oren is the production manager at Mercy Wellness. And Patrick talked a little bit about freshness. So what do you do to make sure that the product is kept fresh?
Ah, right. We first thing we do is we take care of the product when it comes in the door. And then we see that it gets into the can right away. And so the can that we use is a nitrogen seal process. It comes from food packaging.
Okay.
So it's food grade packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And when we drop a little drop of frozen nitrogen in there, it pushes all the oxygen out. And oxygen and moisture are what causes a plant to degrade over mm-hmm. time. And so in the sealed can, it stays as fresh as the day we put it in there.
Okay. So that, how does that compare then maybe to glass? Because I've seen a lot of buds that would be in a glass or something like that.
Yeah, glass is a really common use, but most people don't seal the glass, and they certainly don't put nitrogen in it.
Right.
And glass also allows light in, and so our dark can keeps the light out. Light is another way to degrade the quality of the cannabis once it gets in there.
Okay. But then once you open the can, is there a shelf life?
You know, empirically, I've been looking at it, and so cannabis, when it's exposed to air, does degrade, right? So when you pop that and you get that pop sound off the can, you're letting oxygen in. And so it is important to care for it after you've opened it out of the can.
Okay. All right. So don't let it just sit on the shelf. Enjoy it, right?
Well, the way we look at it is, like, while it's in the can, it's preserved.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to extend. We're trying to take the great work of farmers and be sure that when the consumer gets the product, it's as fresh as the day it went in the can.
Sure.
And that happens as long as it stays in the can. You know, up to a year and a half, 2 years, you can stay in the can without degrading.
Mm-hmm.
When it's exposed, of course it's exposed.
Right. And is this the common way that you deal with all of the product there at Mercy Wellness?
You mean with love?
With
absolutely.
Love and care.
All the flower that comes in is treated with a great deal of respect there. Mm-hmm. The other products are made by other companies. And so definitely Joe does a fantastic job of getting the best products that are available into the Mercy store.
Mm-hmm.
My side of it is the flower. And Joe buys the best flower, hopefully from... great producers like Curiosity Shop
mm-hmm.
That are local, and then we put it in the can. You know, and our can is compliant, it's convenient, and it's consistent, and that's the way we look at it. Compliance, very important to stay in business around here.
Of course.
Convenient, you know, it's a lightweight can, it's crush-proof, so you won't harm your product when you have it, and then it's consistent. Again, it keeps the flower fresh. Until you open it up.
Right. And that sound, generally, you do associate that with something that's being fresh, and you've broken the seal there. So let's talk a little bit more about, is there any quality control process going on when you're putting these things into the cans?
Yeah, so all the cannabis that we can is tested, phase 3 testing now, as required by California.
Mm-hmm.
We monitor the humidity in our room. And we work on our SOPs, standard operating procedures,
mm-hmm.
With our team, you know, constantly revising what we're doing to meet the standards of the industry and also address the quality of the plant that we have there. So we grade it. You know, it's graded by the people that bring it to us, and then we grade it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pull off the smallest buds and offer those so that the eighth always looks really nice when you open it up.
That's great. So there's so many things that we've covered today. If you're curious and want to hear more about Can I Help You, you can always go to our website at ksro.com. We do have our podcast there. If you have any questions, you should reach out directly to Mercy Wellness. Can I Help You, that's C-A-N-N-A, Can I Help You, at mercywellness.com, or go to their website at mercywellness.com. Thank you to all of my guests, Dr. Eiler, Terry Garrett, Joe Sullivan, Patrick Corrigan, and Oren Wool. This half hour flies by.
Sure does.
We'll be back again very soon. So be sure to listen. But if you missed any shows, head to our website at ksro.com, and we'll see you again in the future. Again, the website is mercywellness.com. I'm Michelle Marquis. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Can I Help You?
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.